Hello and welcome. You're listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. Hello and welcome to episode 109 of Writers Aloud. In this episode, poet and playwright Menna Elfin finds time in her hectic schedule to share a writing life where the language is rich, the international is celebrated, and the political is unavoidable. Here she is with My Writing Week.
It's Sunday morning. I've just finished writing my column for the Western Mail. I've been writing a column for the Western Mail every fortnight for the past 20 years. And so I'm allowed to write on anything, everything and nothing. It's a bit of a challenge at times because one is always aware that one might repeat oneself and say things or write things that have been written before. This week I'm writing about an opera, a world premiere opera I saw on Friday evening at the Millennium Centre in Cardiff, In Parentheses by Ian Bell. And it is a reworking of that wonderful book by David Jones, who was a war poet and writer and artist. He's been a very much underestimated writer, unlike the other poets we're thinking of, Rupert Brooke and others, or Edward Thomas. He hasn't had the praise that he deserves. I don't know if that's because he was a London Welshman. He was very much Welsh in his temperament and in the way he wrote, and perhaps that was something strange to a UK audience, I've no idea. Anyway, I've now finished writing that article. I've also read again my article that came out in Wales Arts Review about my favourite room, or my study rather. One always reads back in case there's a typo that's gone through. Fortunately, there's nothing, and that's good to know too. That's it for today, I think. Now I'm going to make a Sunday roast. Welsh lamb, of course. It's the only time of the week when I do eat meat. It's Tuesday morning. And tomorrow I leave for Bucharest, and so I'm finishing a few things before going. I've just written my adjudication for the Crown competition at the National Eisteddfod, and I've sent it away. It's totally confidential, so I can't even mention who wins or if there is a winner. But three women, have been sifting through hundreds of poems, literally hundreds of poems, to arrive at the winning collection. It is this year a request for a collection of poetry on the subject of paths, pathways, roads, and I'm thinking of Edward Thomas's As Roads Go On While We Forget and Are Forgotten, and that's a bit like what being a judge is all about, really, is that you are very important on the day of the crown, but then, of course, whoever is crowned on the Monday of the Eisteddfod is very much celebrated. This year, for the first time ever, they've allowed three women poets. So I expect a lot of criticism if the poems are deemed not worthy. There's usually some kind of response. So I've had to write that long 4,000-word critique, which people will mull over and dissect, no doubt, but that's all part of the business of poetry and part of being a working poet. So now I'm going to look at my emails. I'm also going to give a few responses to my master's in creative writing students, because they have to submit at the end of the month, and they are all frantically wanting some responses because we believe in work in progress, and so we are able to give them at least twice some kind of critique so that they kind of know where their work is at. That's all for today on the Tuesday. And tomorrow I won't take this machine with me, but I'll be off very early to Bucharest. It's Monday morning. I returned last night from Bucharest, where I was taking part in the Bucharest International Poetry Festival. It was indeed a wonderful international event, with us reading in our native languages and the Romanian up on a big screen. Of course, I read in Welsh and English. I like to interlock the languages and make people realise how interconnected the languages are, because I have had a thoroughly English education at a time when Welsh was not deemed to be a language to live by. So I'm very grateful in a way that I have inherited the English language and literature, as well as the richness of the older language and the mother tongue that I speak, which is Welsh. So this morning is back to reality, and it's back to writing and starting my biography of myself. I have refused to write an autobiography, a memoir. I've been plagued by various publishers in Wales to write a memoir, but I've refused every time. It's not a genre that I'm happy with, the me aspect. But what I have agreed to do now is look at a slant, in a way, look at my life aslant through my poetry, and try and see how my poetry has been informed by my travelling, my reading. And so it's more a literary memoir than a purely personal one. And so I'm going to start that, as well as find out the state of my biography on the woman poet I've written a biography on. It's now in the publisher's hands, and I'm awaiting for the proofreading process to begin. I've also agreed last week to do a residency in Iceland and work a theatric piece on one of the sagas. So that too is an exciting prospect and something I will be working on, and going to Iceland in the next couple of weeks. But I'm always glad to be home. That's all for this morning, I think. It's a Friday morning, and I am ready to prepare to go to Hay on Wye Festival, where I will be introducing and presenting a prize for translation at an event tomorrow. Again, it means that I haven't been writing as much as involved in the business of writing, and I think this is something that writers find themselves in this situation daily now, with all kinds of things to do around writing rather than getting down to the business of writing. So I do hope to snatch a few hours today going around bookshops, second-hand bookshops in Hay. There's still plenty left, although some of them have been trendified and are now kind of closed shops or art galleries. So that's my plan for the day. and I hope to meet up with other writers and bump into some old friends while I'm in Hay. Okay, that's me for today. It's Wednesday and it's 6 o'clock. I've just received another letter from my Basque correspondent. We will be part of 8 writers from Europe taking part in Donostia, St. Sebastian, City of Culture at the end of this year, and the book will be published with our letters to one another. And she says here about something I said. She says, in your last letter, you say that we have a bridge in the mouth. I imagine a river with people, friends, relatives and opponents on both sides. People who wish they were together but are not. This is why bridges are built. This is why in all wars, bridges are blown up. Junctions are destroyed. And she goes on to say, conversation, however, does not occur between languages, but between people who speak different languages. In our case, Basque monolingual speakers are very rare, except among children. In the past, there were some people who could hardly speak Spanish or French, but they are dead now. We could say that Basque speakers have built or shared the bridge, whereas the Spanish speakers next door are only starting to build theirs. And she goes on to say there are too many people destroying bridges when they are most needed. At this pace, there will be a bridge built with corpses between Africa and the south of Europe, the passage of the dead. And I think that's the kind of thing I identify with her as a Basque speaker, myself a Welsh speaker, is that we are acutely aware of minorities in a way perhaps that monoglot English people are not. We've always been on the outside. We've always known what it is to have borders, whether it's because of our identity, our accent, or the fact that we are marginalised anyway. This might seem strange that I'm here as a writer, but I seem to be involved in politics when I really want to do other things. And yet, as a citizen, one can't escape the dilemma that a writer faces every single day, drawn into a debate that you would much rather spend that time in solitary confinement of writing and finishing things, finishing a book or a play. I have started to write a poem this week, which I'm pleased about, and I will try perhaps and read it, type it in my usual way, put it aside and go back to it in a week or so to see if it is a poem worthy of being printed or seeing the light of day. Who knows? Perhaps, but perhaps not. Tuesday morning. I had hoped that my final entry for this podcast would contain a poem, at least one poem, and a new one at that. But the word which inspired me has stalled. It's the word amen, or in English, amen. My poem was to contain a litany of that word, as it's a word that encompasses the Jewish faith, Islam, Amin, and Christianity. How come such a powerful word can unite us, and yet it's the and yets which baffle us all? And so my poem begins with, and I'll read this in Welsh, Aros awnawn yn blentyn awr yma amen, heb i nabod hi. In English, the translation would be something like this: as a child, I waited for the Amen without knowing her, just glad to be released from the somber sound before the gasp of silence. As a minister's daughter, I spent a lot of my childhood in chapels waiting for that word, Amen, Amen, that would mean that one would be free. And yet my poem is all about the way that word now can contain, can bless, can be affirmative. And so it's a poem as yet unwritten, although I've written about 12 drafts so far. It still hasn't come even close to what I hoped it would be by now. I suppose the last week has been one full of distractions for a writer, because literature, as we know, is all about crossing borders. It's about reaching out to the individual. It's about not trying to win over glibly a reader. It's trying to go down. It's about depth and about breadth. And yesterday I was at the AGM of the Royal Society of Literature, and I had the misfortune of taking a taxi. And it reminded me of a wonderful poem that Danny Apsey wrote about being a doctor and about a prejudiced man saying that he didn't like the Jews. And Danny replies, "I did not say I was a Jew." And the guy then says, you know, that he doesn't like the Welsh. And then he replies by saying, "I did not tell him I was Welsh." And I thought of that as I was sitting in the back of the taxi listening to the tirade of this taxi driver. So these are just jottings. It's not a poem, and I don't write poetry in English, but it's something that will probably go into my diary, thinking, of course, of Danny Apsey at the same time. He said he felt British again. I did not say I was Welsh. He said he felt free for the first time. I did not say I dreamed in my youth for a free Wales. We must not be negative, he said, but we can choose who comes in. I did not say that I'd open the door, believed in the need for strangers. I said you must be glad of the way you voted. Oh, I didn't vote, he said. In between jobs I was. I did not say that I hoped his jobs would multiply. In a traffic jam, he said that it would be better to walk. By now, I too was needing some air, and so I leave as he points to the end of the street. Turn right, and you're there. I pay the fare, say cheers, see him drive away, thinking all the while of his parting words to me. Turn right, and you're there. I get lost. It wasn't as simple as he had said. But a New Yorker I ask says, "Let's go together. I'm going that way too." In the end, all you need on a dimmering day is a guide from a stranger, which made us, for 10 minutes at least, two of a kind.
That was Menna Elfin. You can find out more about Menna on her website at www.mennaelfin.co.uk. That's Elfin spelt E-L-F-Y-N. And that concludes episode 109, which was recorded by Menna Elfin and produced by Kona McPhee. Coming up in episode 110, the novelist and non-fiction writer Sanjida O'Connell speaks with James McConaughey about her roots in science, blurring genre boundaries, and the opportunities and constraints of broadcast media. We hope you'll join us. You've been listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. To subscribe to podcasts and to find out more about the work of the RLF, please visit our website at www.rlf.org.uk. Thanks for listening.